God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. God's plan is based on the principle of grace, and grace covers a multitude of sins. Those who apply Bible doctrine are forgiven regardless. This is a promise in Scripture. And since believers stumble in many ways and sin every day, we have recourse by confession, and that enables us to be in fellowship. You're not in fellowship, then all bets are off regarding the assimilation of information. This is a self-discipline to be here, to be in fellowship, and to listen carefully to the information presented. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace and the truth that we are privileged to be under, and for all the things you do for us, seen and unseen, so that we can be here and continue to assimilate the information that you have seen fit to place in your word and make clear to our positive volition. Bless this Bible class to that end, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, a section on wisdom and folly. The use of wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes, unlike other places in the Bible, deals with wisdom, both natural wisdom, how people get on in life and make things happen, the best way to go about something. Last night, the story of the poor wise man. This is not to be taken as somebody who was a believer, who had something, just as was a person who had some mysterious or some idea how to thwart the threat that was against the city. So people in the world apply that kind of wisdom. We will call it natural wisdom. The wisdom that comes as a result of being in life, learning things, figuring things out. Again, in some cases, being trained by certain people. The wisdom it takes for you to do your job, whatever job you have out there. You have a certain amount of wisdom. Now, obviously, with a believer, God blesses you in addition to that if you are prayerful and in fellowship, making your job maybe easier or showing you the way. So it's wisdom. A successful person in a legitimate way has applied wisdom. And that involves good judgment, persistence, and other factors that enable people to succeed. And then there are people who, and there are the extremes, nobody, you have people that are of a different mindset, and that's what we'll see or look at in these verses. We begin with the first here of a series of proverbs. This is an interesting one. Probably never thought of this one. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So we have the word for dead, and we have interesting word for flies, for fly, Zebub. Remember Beelzebub? A derogatory Jewish name for Satan, but legitimate. Lord of the flies. That's what Beelzebub means. You'll see, you saw it in your New Testament. Lord of the flies. Well, we know what flies land on. So, you can go from there on that. I did see, there was a little interesting thing in that movie, which I liked it, just for the opening scene. And that was Gladiator. If you haven't seen the movie Gladiator, the opening scene was worth the whole movie. From the Romans lined up, and they're going to fight the long-haired Gauls. And that war scene they set up at the beginning of that was one of the better ones I've ever seen. It was really excellent. It just captivated me. Okay. But later on in the movie, the main character, who got done in and wound up being a gladiator, he got wounded and his family was wiped out by Romans, and he was a Roman. And he's in a cart going down the road with a wounded arm. And there was another person being taken into this, introduced into the gladiator realm. And there was this huge black guy. And he wakes up and he sees all these maggots all over his wound. And this guy get rid of black guy. No. They only eat the bad flesh. They will clean it up completely and totally. See, there's wisdom. It's an example. How cool. Okay, you're not excited. I am. This is what I do sometimes when I sit in my big living room and listen to music and drink a glass of wine. I talk to myself. I practice preaching. All the things I should have told them last night. I just can't quit. Brenda says, who are you talking to? I said, me. Because I have trouble just doing it silently. I gotta articulate it. But see, there's an example of flies, a creature God made, eating only the rotten flesh in the man's arm, where he'd lost his arm. And I saw a thing that they actually grow these maggots in a sterile environment for those purposes in the world. Somebody discovered that. Somebody stumbled on that truth in life. That this was something, quote, natural, to eat out all the gangrene and all the rotted flesh. So flies, now they won't land on margarine. They got their standards. Or so I've been told. You might buy a stick of margarine and stick it out there. Of course, it would probably melt. But see if they would even like it. Okay, everything you want to know about flies. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. Oil is simply the Hebrew word for fat, but you have to figure it out in context. And the word perfumers is a cal participle of rakak, which means to mix things. So you have to figure in context what he's talking about. So a little folly, there's a different word for, this is a different family of words for the fool, sikluth. A little foolishness is weightier, preposition with a noun, kabod, which means glory. So how you figure that out. And then, of course, little is straightforward. A little foolishness is weightier than wisdom. Wisdom and honor. That's not weightier. That was a different one. Sorry about that. Is weightier than wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart, another proverb. A wise man's heart, the real you, the heart of the wise, directs him towards the right, Right is associated with direction, right hand. And it's also, because it's the word right, it's the right thing. So I suppose that this is the reason. And we have those who are on the right of political issues and those who are on the left. The left is generally associated with that which is liberal, and the right is that which is conservative. So this thought prevails in our society. A wise man heart toward the right directs him as, but the foolish man's heart toward the left. It's ecliptic. The verb is left out, but we know it's directed. So a person follows the impulses of their heart under the influence of that which is wise or that which is foolish. Then he goes off on and talks about a fool. Now, there are lots of different types of fools. The masses are basically fools that are not positive, that are negative. That obviously has the ultimate consequences of foolish, of being a fool. But there's the lazy fool. There's the rich fool. There's different types of categories of people who are fools. But this one is more specific. This is what I will call the flaming fool. I mean, he is such a fool, this person, that average people immediately peg him as a fool simply by the way he walks and, of course, the junk that comes out of his mouth. The two go hand in this case go hand in hand. Even when the fool walks along the road. Now, there's a type of fool that could walk, and you wouldn't know he was a fool, unnecessarily. He may be a liberal fool, one of those type, an accomplished fool. But this one, I don't see this as the picture. This is the real loser. This is a real loser. This is a person who, even when he walks along the road, that's straightforward, his sense is lacking. He doesn't have it together. He's in la-la land. He's in another realm. His sense, and this word for fool isn't kessel, it's sakal. One might do a word study on the two and see in context where they're used. This is the more rare one. His sense, which means his heart, is chaser lacking. And he demonstrates to everyone that he's a fool. He didn't hide it. It is out in the open, and people immediately see this person and the way he carries himself, that he's a fool. I see him walking down the street all the time, pants halfway down around their ankles. Well, that's a tip off. That looks cool. Please. With a head, bouncing his head around with some earphones on. Walking down the street. Probably living off of somebody else, a woman or the state or whatever. He's just a loser. I'm not belittling poor people that become homeless. I'm not casting everybody into the same deal. I'm just talking about certain people you see. You just go, thank God I don't have to talk to this person. Because and people walking does tip off sometimes what kind of a person they are. Queer. They come, little tiny steps, come walking up to your table to wait on you. Oh, God. Suddenly not hungry. Mannerisms betray what certain people are. We're not talking about people who are handicapped. We're not, none of that. They think beyond a person's control. That's not, we don't even think about that. It's some put-on deal. That's not normal. Although we've lost track of what's normal anymore. But I think most of you know what is basically normal. This person has a normal gait. They're walking from point A to point B. Not this kind of a fool. And demonstrates, the word demonstrates is the verb to speak, amer. His actions, apart from anything he says, signifies, it's not judging. I mean, it's judging, all right, but it's not based on, you know, false information. It's just an observation of this guy. And he speaks to everyone that he is a fool. Sokol. And then another observation that does not fit in this, but I put it in these first four verses. It's advice that Q gives us. And you have to be on your toes in Ecclesiastes. I've noticed that. And this is nothing here to do with a fool at all. And so we stop with that and we go to the next one. It's advice. And as it applies, this would apply beyond just a ruler. If the ruler's temper rises against you, particle if, temper is spirit, ruach. And they nailed it here with temper. If the ruler's temper rises, the Hebrew verb go up, rises, ruler is mashal. Against you, preposition al with the suffix. Now obviously this is a case where the ruler is in the wrong and the subject who's being dumped on is in the right. Here's advice how to handle it. The ruler's in authority. How do you act if under authority you are have someone anger at you without cause? It happens. Do not abandon your position. Don't cave in. If you're in the right, you don't abandon it. You don't run out of there or grovel. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Okay, you're probably right. No, you do not abandon. The word abandon is the verb to rest in the Hifield stem, to cause to rest. You do not abandon, good English word to hit this, your position. The word position is place, makom. We've seen it quite often. Because composure, marpe, means healing. Because composure allays, there we have again ruach. We had ruach for spirit, now we have the verb form, hifield, to rest. Allays great gadol offenses, which is the Hebrew noun for sin. One, the first proverb is parallel in thought to 9:18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Now that's an abstract concept. One screw up, somebody can mess up a whole deal. I had this happen on a job I had down in Houston. We were laying underground. We were subleasing. We had a company that laid underground cable for the phone company. Can you believe I had a job doing that? And we had to run. We had this machine where you put deals in it, and it punched a hole underneath the highway. And there was water, and it was. You know, this thing was 100 years old. This machine. I mean, it must have been the first one ever made. Put out black smoke, and you put another deal in it, and pump all the way through. And so you got the other side, so you have something to draw the cable underneath there with when you got your hole deal. And we had a guy also digging a pit, and he had a backhoe. And this was the fool on the backhoe. When he would get on that backhoe, I'd get 100 feet away from him. He'd swing that thing all over the place. Well, in his craziness, he pulled up some other utilities. He wrecked our whole day's work. It was just a joke. And he runs back to the shop. It gets there ahead of us. And me and my friend were there. Comes in because we didn't want to be tattletales or nothing. But he finally did it. The boss is mad. He's talking to us. And said, "What happened out there?" I said, "The screw up on the backhoe." He didn't know. He is not cautious. And we told him, we were trying to instruct him not to do this. He's just digging like a maniac. So that's the only one I can think of here that a little stupidity can wreck a whole thing. So a whole day's work was down the drain because of this clown. We had to go back and make it right. They need to fire him. I think they did. It takes only a little of something to spoil something good. You could apply this to a lot of different things. Now, something good could be anything. A day's work. All the rest of it. Obviously, we overcome things as believers, but he's not talking about, a little, like a little leaven, leaven's whole thing. Well, a little of something to spoil something good. A little carelessness. Thoughtlessness, various actions. I suppose these proverbs could be applied in a lot of different ways. And the thing about learning this and hearing this from the book of Ecclesiastes is you now are going to be attuned to and see examples of this. Maybe more than you ever did before. And you say, "Oh, I saw that. That's an illustration." I see some that said Solomon might have used that as an illustration if he'd have ran across it. Flies. Okay, moving this. Flies are small creatures that are attracted to sweet-smelling perfume. Where they land and die, of course, they drown and cause an otherwise valuable product to stink, rendering it useless. So that would be something that someone who was in the perfume thing would have to guard against and protect his product and be sure that no fly got in it. Because it takes a lot of them to mess this thing up. So something little wrecks something that's bigger than it is, obviously, and valuable. This analogy is the first line, in the first line serves to illustrate the abstract truth set forth in the second line. It only takes a little bit of something, a little bit of foolishness, whatever foolishness it might be. It could be somebody getting in too big of a hurry, or any number of things, to spoil something worthwhile. In the case of the perfumer, he's got to start over. And he loses his product, and he has to spend the time to get it back. A person who is respected for wisdom and honor can undermine that by a little foolishness. However you want to see that. The second proverb is antithetical proverb, means opposites. And its thrust is that wisdom and folly go in two different directions. that's straightforward. That's simple. Wisdom and folly go in two different directions. That's why we learn doctrine so you and I can learn how to react to and deal with situations. And I suppose that final verse 4 is about the foolishness on the part of the person under duress wrecks the occasion, messes it up. One person can mess up a get-together, leave a sour taste in everybody's mouth. The wise go to the right, metaphorically speaking, and the fools to the left. Right and left are, that should be T-W-O, opposite directions in the life of people. 10. It's like the right and wrong way in approaching the issues of life. The right and wrong way to approach things. Whenever we approach something the wrong way, we go to the left. Now, in this particular study, fools consistently are always going to the left. We have all gone to the left on issues where we didn't have all of our ducks in a row and all of our information correctly in front of us. The beauty of God's plan is you can get back, get on the right, and take the right, and do the right thing. Whereas in the past, we didn't do it through ignorance, driven by our STAs, or even with the absence of natural wisdom. Natural wisdom. The kind we maybe got from good parents or some thing that resonated with us. Maybe we had a role model person. And we learned from that role model certain things. And maybe that's how you got going in your career. You learned from some fellow. He wasn't necessarily Mr. Nice Guy either. Maybe you screwed up, he let you know it. But you didn't take it personally. You wanted to learn. You hung in there with it. You didn't walk around with a chip on your shoulder like some people do. And if they get crossed, then they're all upset. No. No. It's the ability to get and take, to know how to operate. So right and left are two opposite directions. The heart is the center of one's volitional makeup. People make choices. People make choices. I ought to know this. I've been in this business for all these years. People make choices. They've heard different in Bible class in their case, so they're culpable. And they make bad choices. They leave Bible doctrine over some of the dumbest stuff. Did they ever have a conception that, oh, well, the pastor's going to be perfect all the time? He's Jesus Christ incarnate. No, he isn't. And you can't cut him any grace and any slack. So you get all up in arms. You do that with your job? Well, you'd be looking for a job. You want a paycheck. But as I've always said, there's reasons people leave, and then there's the real reason. And I didn't tell you the real reason. There's more going on there. Because back in the day, when they would say, I expect you to be perfect. I'm not either. And when love ruled and common sense, and they were excited about it, now they're different. So the heart is the center of one's volitional makeup. Good choices and bad choices are in view here. If you make enough good choices, you'll make it spiritually. But a series of bad choices, and some of them are more critical than others, will do you in. Always observe your attitude towards the teacher, the teaching, and how you go out here and what the will of God is. And if you've got yourself in a bad situation, get yourself out. bad relationship, get yourself out where you can, legitimately. I mean, not violate doctrine again in order to get out of a situation. Sometimes you're in a bad situation, and that's where you're supposed to stay. But if you get yourself in the wrong kind of situation, look around. Back in the day, you were a champion of the truth. These people are dummies, and what are they doing back in the day? Now you're going to be like that? Like I said, there's also other hidden agendas and things people want. They're not willing to wait on the Lord and faith rest stuff and get through it. So verse 2 describes the different directions of the wise and the fool take. Now in verse 3, the image is advanced, evoking the image of a fool walking down a road. While it may be true that the road is an actual road, and I take it as such, and not a metaphor for life, the two are connected. The precise behavior of the fool walking down the road, demeanor, whatever you want to call it, is not specified. He didn't have to be. Because this is a case where it is so obvious that this person is a fool that nobody has to ask any further questions. They demonstrate it silently by the way they walk. I remember as a kid, certain people, they would try to mimic someone else's walk because they were impressed with this person. Instead of their own natural gait and way of conducting them, walking. So, insofar as your walking is concerned, it shouldn't communicate something weird to other people. Again, I'm not talking about a physical malady. People recognize so-and-so's got a limp, so-and-so's got this. They recognize that. But the point is that when a person sees the fool, all know the fool for what he is. He doesn't take any doctrine. He doesn't take any divine viewpoint. For normal people to recognize this. Of course, we live in an age where everything goes and everything's fine. But normal people see the fool walking down the road. The verse says the fool lacks sense. Proverbs 6:32. It's just a word on sense. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. 32:7-7. And I saw among the stupid, naive. Look, people can be naive about stuff. Uninformed. That doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. It's just you're naive. And discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Now that's a different one than this one here. He's driven in a different way here by his lust pattern. The fact that a full-blown fool cannot conceal his folly, but exposes it every time he opens his mouth and actions, is found in Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man conceals knowledge. He knows when to keep it to himself. But the heart of the fools proclaim folly. And 13:16, which reads, every prudent man acts with knowledge. That's another synonym. A prudent person is a person who uses good judgment. He acts with knowledge. For the believer, the knowledge of the will of God, the understanding of what to do, when to do it, and so forth. But a fool displays folly. Verse 4 is closely connected with the first three verses of this chapter. Q here gives advice on how to deal with an irate superior, mozo. That particular word for leader is only here in 9:17. Advice on how to deal with an irate boss, an irate whoever it is. This works. This formula works, by the way. It's contrary to human nature when someone's raking you over the coals and you know you're right and they're wrong, when you know that for a fact. This verse is similar to court wisdom. How to handle yourself in the presence of the monarch, the ruler, found in Proverbs and other wisdom literature. I'm sure Solomon saw all kinds of people come before him. And I'm sure that there were times he too was out of fellowship. He had got wrong information. And he was acting on wrong information, and some underling got the brunt of it. It happens. He advises how to serve a leader or king to blunt the leader's temper with gentleness. Do not let it rattle you. Now, if you anticipate this might be a hostile environment, and you just gear up. I've been in such a situation under a spiritual authority in a big room with a couple other people, and wrong information was given, distorted information was given by people in my church who went there, and things happened. I did not lose sight of the fact that I had respect for this person and great appreciation for the benefits towards me. And I knew his temper. So I went in there prepared in my soul. I'm going to state the case. I'll take whatever I get. And there will be no back talk. So you imagine walking into my or whoever's office. And I got all wrong information about you, the situation. I haven't investigated it. I go off half-cocked. Well, it's been told me this and this. No, it starts off real provocative. I hear you're an arrogant bastard. Now, my wife might say you are, I am. But she probably, being who she is, would not use the B word. Even as I won't use the B word with regard to her. And so you know how I responded? I ignored it. I said, what have I done? And a laundry list of maybe a dozen things. I memorized them. I was in fellowship. I said, okay, sir, let's take these up one by one. This is completely wrong. One of them was, you moved the church so it would be more convenient for you. No, where the church is located now, where we meet, it's twice as far at least than where I was. No, I'll show you on a map. So when the whole show was over, he knew he'd been had. Shook my hand. Came down out of the pulpit. Said, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. It didn't cause me to, I'm never going to, you know, I didn't overreact on this. People get out of fellowship and do stupid stuff or wrong things. A lot of people, they're so thin-skinned, and the least little thing they're all wrapped up on. See, this is preparing you for life. And preparing you to handle things. So, in this way, the wrath of a leader, point 23, can be turned aside. Now, unless he is just totally unreasonable and everything. If this one, I would presume, is a person who is a king, who's had a lot of experience, and this just, he just got wrong on this. But he's still the king. The second line of verse 4 gives the motive for the first half. The servant of the leader is not to leave because his calm composure. I think that was a tactic, actually, to see if he could rattle me. He couldn't rattle me because I prayed and determined how I was going to walk through this thing. I had all the scripture, all the information. I knew the facts. I didn't go in there cold. I didn't know what all that kind of stuff. See, they took down there all kinds of stuff. Not one thing in any of that, it was all distorted. They went down there. They didn't last in my church very long. You wouldn't expect them to. They didn't come to me with anything. So they went down there and put out a bunch of lies. Half-truths and innuendos and all this mess. This is how the unprincipled operate. Boy, have I seen it. And even recently. In this particular instance, the servant is also advised not to abandon his position. If you're right, you're right. If you can know that, in my situation, and that was the most graphic one of my life, I knew I was right. If I've done anything wrong, I'll reevaluate different steps. Well, you start a tape ministry. You know, I got a great big tape ministry. Had a reel-to-reel sitting up there. Big tape ministry. I just wanted to have tapes from people that missed. What's wrong with that? They're sick, they can't make it, or they want to study down the road a series, then we make this available to believers. I'm not trying to copy this. I'm not trying to match this. I'm just doing what I'm doing. So in the end, I got kind of a pat on the back and a short of sorry about that. Because it's embarrassing when you're caught. And you didn't have the facts. And you went off on it. It's embarrassing. He is not to abandon his position, signifying that the one under authority and experienced extreme displeasure is in the right in this instance. One who is in the right, see, this is a person who's taken the right path, but under verbal abuse, is to calmly hold his position. Which will hopefully commend itself to the one who wields power over an underling. When confronted with a situation such as this, the temptation is to cower or run away defeated. And therefore, act foolish in your regard. You're there in the best interest of things related to the king and the rule or the authority. Let's get this straight. So you're calmly presenting a case, and a reasonable person that cares at all about running things properly will see that they got false information. Just because you're the boss does not mean you're necessarily going to be right all the time. Somebody might have fed you wrong information. And you have to consider that. The idea is to side with the person that's right. And if it's the employee, you don't side with the irate client out here that's all the hell upset and accusing and saying things. You got to get the facts. If you lose a client, use a client. You can still be polite. You have to deal with people appropriately. See, you have to defend the right person at the right time. I don't care if it costs you a customer. No, yeah, I know you try to calm people down and call on the phone and your deal. I understand that part of it. But don't dump on an employee if he didn't do anything wrong. There's just people out here, they don't care. They just want to make up something. You have to get to the bottom of it. After all, would you like to be treated like that? You say, well, maybe you had in your career by people. It wasn't any fun, was it? So the Bible says you basically, you support the person to the best of your ability that's in the right. Against all comers. If that person is in the right, you stand up for them. God stands up for us. When confronted with a situation like this, the temptation is to cower and run away. A calm but immovable posture can do a lot to reverse the situation. 30, it is not immediately apparent if great offenses refers to the actions of the leader or not. Nevertheless, a calm response is able to diffuse the situation. The leader needs to know the facts, so he can adjust himself and do the right thing so he doesn't continue down a wrong path. It could lead to a bigger thing than you imagine. You're the one person that will stand there calmly and present a case for the way it is. Now, if he won't ultimately abide by it, you've done the right thing. A lot of people won't, though. They'll cave. Stand for what's right. Because when you stand for what's wrong, it's going to come back and bite you someday. In certain instances. While the term wisdom is not found here, it is clear that this is an example of the benefit of wisdom. So you've got wisdom. This works for all people. Not just a believer under the gun. Proverbs 16:14, the wrath of the king is like messengers of death. See, he's got all this power. He's got the power of life and death. He's an absolute monarch. People knew that. But a wise man will appease it. He will appease it. How'd that king get in all that power? By making a lot of stupid decisions? No. So he's got to face this. Hopefully, in his upbringing, he learned that, hey, you aren't going to be right all the time because you've got a crown on your head and you're sitting in the seat of power. Now, the more righteous he is, the more just man he is, he'll deal with it. Again, even though wisdom is superior to folly in every way, it can be overturned if the one under duress acts inappropriately. We'll pick this up Sunday. See you then. Oh, I just wanted to add, I don't know what kind of weather we're going to have at any given time. And so I try to make judgment calls, and I've made some mistakes regarding judging. It was going to be bad recently, not too long ago. I thought it was going to be bad, and it wasn't, and we canceled. So I rely on others that are out there, but eventually I have to make a decision. I'm not saying it's going to happen anything. I'm not expecting anything. It's just to let you know that I try the best I can to figure out, because I don't want a bunch of people out here on a skating rink. I really don't. I don't expect that. People fall on sidewalks and all kinds of things. I don't want to do that. So we try to use good judgment in this regard. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, instill these things in our souls. In Christ's name, amen.